Today is the seventh Sunday after the Epiphany. Our reading from the Word of God are from Genesis 45, verses 1 through 15, Psalm 103, verses 1 through 13, and the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 6, verses 27 through 38. I'm reading from the 1984 Translation International Version. The message is titled, I Am Joseph, the One You Sold. Genesis 45, beginning of verse 1. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out, Have everyone leave my presence. So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still living? But his brothers were unable to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, Come close to me. When they had done so, he said, I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years there will be. There will not be plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and say to him, This is what your son Joseph says. God made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me, you, your children, and your grandchildren, your flocks and your herds, and all you have. I will provide for you there, because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise, you and your household and all who belong to you will become destitute. You can see for yourselves, and so can my brother Benjamin, that it is really I who am speaking to you. Tell my father about all the honor accorded to me in Egypt and about everything you have seen, and bring my father down here quickly. Then he threw his arms around his brother Benjamin and wept. And Benjamin embraced him, weeping. And he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. Afterwards, his brothers talked with him. Here ends our reading from Genesis 45. Psalm 103, beginning of verse 1. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. For as the east is from the west, so far He has removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Here ends our reading from Psalm 103. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 6, beginning at verse 27. But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is it to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is it to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is it to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them. And lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Shaken together and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Here ends a reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O loving Master, shine into our hearts by the pure light of knowing you. Open the eyes of our minds to reflect on your teaching. And put into us the holy respect of your blessed commandments. Lead us to set aside all that is worldly, that we may follow a spiritual life, thinking and doing all things as it pleases you. For you are our sanctification and our illumination. And to you we give all glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Do you enjoy going to the theater? Going to see a show and evening out and being entertained? For me, as the story unfolds on the stage, I enjoy absorbing how the story is being told through the set, through the costumes, along with how the scenes are changed. A while back, I saw A Beautiful Noise, the Neil Diamond story. It was very enjoyable. And what particularly caught my eye was how they did these things. At one moment, there was, I call it a light curtain. It was light coming straight down from above, right behind a couch, this overhead light coming down. And all of a sudden, people just start popping up from behind the couch as they step into the light. You see them. They were all hidden in the dark that was right behind the light. It was really, really fascinating done. And then what also caught my eyes, too, was the bringing on and taking off of the stage, the set pieces, chairs, desks, tables, all these things. It was always, it seemed, in a choreographed fashion, moving precisely in lines to accentuate the storytelling. This week is Anastasia, and of course the music is ringing in my mind. And next Sunday, I get to go see Peter Pan. I'm going looking forward to see them, the actors, fly. Then Cats will be on my mind, as OPAI is doing Cats, and some of our talented people are in the Cats Young Actors Edition coming up. Aria is performing as Jemima, and I know you guys are doing, I see smiles going, yeah, I'm looking forward to that too. Overlapping that, soon following Cats, the Springfield Arts Council will be having auditions for Joseph and the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, which will be performed this summer at the Summer Arts Festival, beginning of the Summer Arts Festival. Not the very beginning, but up to the close. Aria plans to audition. You got other audition plans coming up too for that? And soon that music from Joseph will be echoing all through our home for weeks on end, telling the story of Joseph through a musical. It's a musical my wife Heather very much enjoys. The prologue begins with a narrator singing about having dreams and a boy whose dream comes true. Ah, the tale of Joseph is extraordinary. From the lyrics of one of the songs that sticks in people's mind. Way, way back, many centuries ago, not long after the Bible began, Jacob lived in the land of Canaan, a fine example of a family man. Jacob, Jacob and sons, depending on farming to earn their keep. Jacob, Jacob and sons, spent all his days in the fields with sheep. Jacob was the founder of a whole new nation, thanks to the number of children he had. He was also known as Israel. But most of the time, his sons and his wives used to call him Dad. Jacob, Jacob and sons, men of the soil, of the sheep and crook. Jacob, Jacob and sons, a remarkable family in anyone's book. Before Joseph, Jacob has an interesting story to tell too. His dad Isaac and Esau were twins. Now, Isaac was his dad. Esau and Jacob were twins. Isaac's favorite was Esau. Rebecca, Isaac's wife's favorite, was Jacob. Esau and Jacob being twins, Esau, Jacob, going back and forth, Jacob. He bought Esau's birthright with a cup of soup. Now with Rebecca's help, Jacob steals the blessing from his father, Isaac. Esau didn't like that, so Jacob runs away. Rebecca says, go to my family. And so Jacob runs away to his uncle Laban. And as he arrives there, Jacob's eyes land on Rachel. And he just falls. He's hooked. He's hooked on Rachel. 7 years of work. He will work to have Rachel's hand in marriage. Genesis 29, verse 20. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. And they seemed to him but a few days because of the love he had for her. The wedding day arrived, and to his surprise, when the morning light came in, the morning light unveiling the secret, Laban's daughter Leah was with him in the marriage bed. Excuses were given, well, the oldest daughter has to marry before the younger daughter. However, complete the week with her, and Rachel's yours for another 7 years of work. And so it was done. Boys began to born. Birth to Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah. Enough of this. Rachel fumes and gives her maidservant to Jacob to have children through a maidservant, Bilhah. And so Dan is born, the Naphtali. The contest is on between the sisters. Leah gives her maidservant, Zilpah. And Gad is born. And then Asher. Issachar is born to Leah. Then Zebulun to Leah. Are you keeping track? Zebulun was the 10th born. Now a girl's born to Leah, Dinah. Now the 12th child is born. If you're able to count that, 12th child is born, and this is Joseph, born to Rachel. Then Benjamin is born to Rachel. 13 children, 12 boys, one girl. How'd you like to be the one girl in that family? Jacob favored Joseph above them all, the firstborn to his beloved Rachel. But if you look at the grand plan of the living God, look to whom Levi was born of. Levi, where all the priesthood would come. And look to whom Judah was born of, whom the Messiah would come. Both were born to Leah. Not Rachel. But Rachel the beloved? No, they were born to Leah. The house and tribe of Levi. The house and tribe of Judah. Dreams were important in Joseph's life. The first dream gives a foretaste of what would eventually come. At the same time, the dreams would give a bigger, bitter taste to his 10 older brothers. The dreams infuriated them. And then you add in, Joseph was a tattletale. Were your siblings tattletales on you? Did you like it? Joseph was a tattletale. When Joseph was 17, he brought back a bad report about his brothers to their father. Genesis 37. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made a richly ornamented robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. It would seem Israel, Jacob didn't learn from the division caused by his father Isaac favoring Esau over him. The problem of the dreams and the coat, they came to a crescendo when the brothers determining to do away with the dreamer. Genesis 37, here comes that dreamer. They said to each other, come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns and say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we'll see what comes of his dreams. Reuben, the firstborn, speaks up to not kill Joseph, but to just throw him in a dry cistern. The coldness of the plight of Joseph is seen as his brothers. After throwing Joseph into the cistern, they sit down to eat as if nothing has affected them at all. Nothing happened. What will come of his dreams? Well, as the brothers are sitting down and eating, a caravan comes along at this particular time. God's hand in human history. Orchestrating human history. Joseph sold for 20 shekels. Foreshadowing Jesus being sold for 30 pieces of silver. Many other foreshadows of as Joseph, a shepherd. Jesus, the good shepherd. Joseph hated for his words. Jesus hated by the Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, teachers of the law, elders, all of them. Hated for his words. Plotting to kill Joseph, plotting to kill Jesus. Stripping of Joseph's coat, stripping of Jesus' woven tunic as he's nailed to the cross. There's many, many more similarities from Joseph to Jesus. You can just see them there, including Joseph being exalted over all Egypt and Jesus, the Christ, exalted over all at the right hand of God. The caravan takes Joseph to Egypt, and he sold to Potiphar, false accusations, thrown into prison, interpreting two dreams, and then forgotten about by Pharaoh's cupbearer. Genesis 40, the chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. 2 years pass now, and the Pharaoh has a dream. And another dream, no one can interpret, and it troubles Pharaoh. The cupbearer finally remembers, Joseph, I gave a promise to Joseph, he can interpret dreams. And then he's brought to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh says, can you interpret my dreams? And Joseph says this, Genesis 45, beginning at verse 15. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I had a dream, and no one can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you, that you can hear a dreaming and interpret it. I cannot do it. Joseph replied to Pharaoh, but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. And the dreams interpreted 7 years of overflowing abundance, followed by 7 years of famine. Joseph suggests to Pharaoh, find a discerning man to oversee a plan, using the overflowing abundance years to provide for the 7 years of famine. Pharaoh says, Joseph, you're the man. Famine came to Canaan eventually, bringing his 10 brothers to Egypt. Jacob wouldn't let Benjamin go. Joseph recognizes them. They do not recognize him. Genesis chapter 42 now. They said to one another, "Surely we are being punished because of our brother. We saw how distressed he was when he pleaded with us for his life, but we would not listen. That's why this distress has come upon us." Reuben replied, "Didn't I tell you not to sin against that boy? But you wouldn't listen. Now we must give account for his blood." They did not realize that Joseph could understand them, since he was using an interpreter to speak with them. Fast forward, and the grain runs out in Canaan again. Simeon is in prison in Egypt waiting for Benjamin to be brought back before Joseph. Judah promises and guarantees Benjamin's safety. Let that one sink in. Judah promises Benjamin's safety and safe return. Jesus is of the tribe of Judah. Jacob, whose name is Israel, says, "Take back double the silver along with the prize gifts from the land." Jacob says, Genesis 43, "Take your brother also and go back to the man at once, and may God Almighty grant you mercy before the man, so they will not let your other brother and Benjamin come back with you, so that he will let your other brother and Benjamin come back with you. As for me, if I'm bereaved, I am bereaved." I encourage you to read Genesis chapters 43 through 45 later today. It fills in more this picture of Joseph and how the events are being shaped to bring forth repentance in his brothers. The Lord God does the same in our lives, orchestrates events in our lives so we recognize what we are, who we are, sinners in need of redeeming grace. As the silver cup was found in Benjamin's sack, all the brothers tore their clothes in great anguish. How vastly these brothers have changed. Judah intercedes for Benjamin, pleads for Benjamin to protect Benjamin. Judah will take Benjamin's place, he says. Genesis 40, chapter 44. "Now then, please let your servant remain here as my Lord's slave in place of the boy. And let the boy return with his brothers. How can I go back to my father if the boy is not with me? No, do not let me see the misery that would come upon my father." That's Judah pleading to take Benjamin's place. Jesus is the Christ. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. "For Christ died for once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit." It's written in Isaiah chapter 53, "He took up our infirmities, carried our sorrows. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. And the Lord was laid on him, the iniquity of us all." 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Judah pleading to take Benjamin's place. Christ Jesus of the tribe of Judah took our place. Joseph could no longer contain himself. He sends out his attendants. He clears the chamber of everyone except his 11 brothers. And Joseph wept. Joseph wept. Luke chapter 19 tells us of the time Jesus weeps over Jerusalem. Joseph wept so loudly the Egyptians near and far could hear it. The moment Joseph has his brothers in his hand. Joseph has the power of Egypt in his hand. He has his brothers in his hand. He can exact the pound of flesh. He can get revenge. He can cause pain. He can cause suffering for those 13 years of slavery after his brothers sold him. 2 of those years in prison. Go ahead. You have the power. You can do it. Strike them. They don't deserve forgiveness. Show no mercy. Remember the abuse. Remember the pain. Remember the suffering. No compassion for your brothers. It's written in Psalm 103, portions of it. Praise the Lord, O my soul. O my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. Far as the east is from the west, so far He has removed our transgressions from us. Luke 23, beginning in verse 33. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified Him along with the criminals, one on His right, the other on His left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up His clothes by casting lots. It's written in Genesis 45 what happened. Then Joseph said to his brothers, come close to me. When they had done so, I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be stressed. Do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. Is this soaking into your heart and soaking into your life? Are you experiencing an aha moment as you see the pieces fit together? Joseph did not treat his brothers as they deserved. The Lord God does not treat us as we deserve. Joseph wept over his brothers. Jesus wept over Jerusalem, meaning weeping over those who do not recognize the moment of salvation. Joseph was sent ahead to save. Jesus was sent to save. 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning of verse 15. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display His unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on Him and receive eternal life. As Joseph did, showing compassion, mercy, and grace to his brothers who so greatly wronged him, we are to do the same. For Christ has already done this for us. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. As God in Christ has forgiven you to save you and change you forever, you forgive. If forgiving is difficult for you, read the life of Joseph over and over and over again. He forgives his brothers. You can forgive your sister. You can forgive your friend. You can forgive your brother, you can forgive your mother, you can forgive your father, you can forgive your childhood friend, you can forgive the office co-worker, you can forgive whomever's in that heart that's popping right forward right now. You can forgive them too. You may say, oh, they don't deserve it. Well, neither did you. Look to the cross. Christ did not deserve the cross. See what Christ lovingly and willingly has done for you. Be thankful. The living God does not treat us as we deserve. Psalm 103, verse 13. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. God is so good. He doesn't treat us as we deserve. He shows mercy, compassion, forgiveness, and He gave us His beloved Son to save us. To save us. Read this life of Joseph, and as you do, see that foreshadowing of Christ and the deliverance we have in Christ, especially as He forgives His brothers who do not deserve it. He weeps over them. He loves them. He just has them. And then He provides for them. Come, be with me. I will provide for you. Christ says, come be with me through the forgiveness of the cross. And I will provide you eternal life forever and ever without end. Amen and amen.